I'm glad that the Bible that we have is not only a spiritual book that tells us all about God, but I'm glad the Bible that we have is also a practical book. It tells us how to live the life that God wants us to live on this earth. In fact, I think we could probably get rid of all the other how-to-do books that we have in our life, and if we just followed the Bible and did what it said in the Bible, we'd be a lot better off. The verse that Adam read, that we read together, in John chapter 13, verse 17, is a real spiritual but practical verse. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I will submit to you, and I don't need to tell you this because you know it, I do not know everything. And I do not completely understand most things. But I try to follow this verse. I try to do the things that I do know. And the things that I do know, if I do them, make me happy. For example, I don't know much about electricity. I know Sam knows a lot, and Brother Darrell knows a lot, and some of the other ones know a lot about electricity, but I really don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from. I don't even really know how it works. But I do know some things about electricity. I know if you turn the light switch on, the light comes on most of the time. I know that if you plug things in, they work. And I know if you pay consumers, you can use all that you want to. Now, because I don't understand everything about electricity, I could say, like some people say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to use it. I mean, until I can completely understand it, until I can completely explain how it works, I'm not going to use it. And if I took that attitude, I would have not been able to get up this morning and read before the sun came up like I did. I would not have been able to take a hot shower like I did, nor would I have been able to enjoy my egg sandwich with cheese and bacon like I did this morning. And I would tell you that all three of those things contributed to my happiness this morning. And just because I don't understand everything about electricity did not keep me from utilizing electricity. Now, some people take this attitude toward God. They say, if I can't understand God, if I can't explain where he comes from, if I can't explain how he works. And there are some people that God has allowed things to happen in their life, and they look to heaven and they want God to explain why they would that he would let something like that happen in their life. And because God doesn't explain why, most of the time they say, I'm done with God. I'm not going to serve him. I mean, there are people that say, I'm not even going to consider the gospel. I'm not going to get saved until somebody can explain to me everything about God. Now, I will submit to you this morning, and by the way, those people that think that are the people that I want to talk to this morning. There are some things about God that we will never know. But there are some things about God that we do know. And what I'd like you to do this morning is take this verse and apply it. I'd like you to act upon the things that you do know about God. I admit, there's a lot of things about God I cannot understand. I don't always understand why he works the way he works. I don't always understand why he does the things that he does. But my Bible tells me that that's true. Because his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I, as mortal man, and I don't even know if we'll understand it all when we get to heaven. I don't think it'll make any difference then. I don't know if we'll understand it when we get to heaven. There are things about God that I cannot explain, but that's not going to stop me from living in what I do understand. And I would submit to you this morning, there's seven things that every single person knows. Seven things that was innately put into us when we were created that deal with God, and that every single person needs to act on those seven things. So I have 7 points this morning. Actually, I have 14 because I'm going to cover each one of them twice. So I got to move fast in order to get you out in time so you can make your dinner reservations. Seven things everybody knows. Number one, everybody knows that there is a God. Everybody knows there is a God. I can't prove it to you this morning, but I know and you know there is a God. I would submit to you the Bible doesn't try to prove it. How does the Bible start out? In the beginning, God. It offers no explanation where God comes from. It just starts out, in the beginning, God. And everybody knows that there is a God. Everybody knows that there is an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present being that created the place that we live, that created everything that's in it, that created us. And you can go all over the world this morning. You can go to the deepest, darkest, most isolated places on the earth. And you will find people there that know there is a God. No missionary came in and taught them that. No teacher came in and taught them that. They were born with the innate knowledge put in them by their Creator that there is a God. Don't have to teach people that. We know that. Number two, everybody knows that God made us to live forever. We are immortal. Some may say, no. We only exist when we are alive on this earth. When we breathe our last breath, when our heart beats for the last time, that's it. But people that say that don't really believe that. Because, again, God has put into every person the innate knowledge that we are going to live forever. Now, I can take, and some people say, well, when this life is over, we're just annihilated. We cease to exist. Now, listen, I can take you to a house in my neighborhood this morning. A few weeks ago, there were four people that lived in it, a mom and a dad and two kids. Today, it sits empty. There's a for sale sign in the front yard. We could go to that house, and I could say, isn't it a shame that that family was annihilated? Isn't it a shame that that family no longer exists? And you would say to me, preacher, you're crazy. That family just moved. They live in a different house. Well, let's go to the cemetery. Let's go to the funeral home. Let's stand beside a casket. And you say, well, isn't it a shame that that person was annihilated, no longer exists? I'll say the same thing to you. That person was not annihilated. They just moved to a different place. They live in a different place. There's a part of us that's going to live forever. There's a part of us that is immortal, and that and everybody knows that. Again, you can go to the deepest, darkest parts of the world, the most isolated parts of the world, and people talk about the afterlife. People talk about that place of reward. People talk about that place of punishment. People innately know. You know it. I know it. That there is a God, and that we're going to live forever. Number three, people know that there's a right and there's a wrong. They know that some things that are done are right, and some things that are done are wrong. They may not know all the details. They may not know all the specifics. They may not be able to codify it like we have in our country with a set of laws and principles. And again, you may have to teach a child the law. You may have to teach a child the difference between right and wrong. You may have to teach them the specifics of it. But every little child that's born knows that there's a right and there's a wrong. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows, number four, that doing right leads to reward and doing wrong leads to punishment. There is a God. He's the definer of what's right and what's wrong. If I do right, I please God and I'm rewarded. If I do wrong, I displease God and I'm punished. I don't have to be taught that. You don't have to be taught that. We know it. It's an innate knowledge that our Creator gives us. I mean, it's that knowledge that kicks in when that maniac pulls up behind you in your car, blows the horn, flashes the lights, wanting to get past you, and you pull over, and he speeds by you like you're standing still. By the way, your preacher would never do that, regardless of what some of you might think. And so, he blows the horn, he flashes the lights, you reluctantly pull over and let him pass, or let her pass, whatever the case may be. And then you go a few miles down the road, and they're pulled over by a policeman, and you see the policeman writing the ticket, and you say, yes. They're getting exactly what they deserve. We have an innate sense of justice. We know that wrong is punished and right is rewarded. We don't have to be taught that. We know it. Everybody knows it. We know, number five, that if we do wrong, we deserve to be punished. We know we're not perfect. We know that sometimes we choose to do wrong. And we know that when we choose to do wrong, we deserve to pay the price. That innate sense of justice that wants other people punished when they do wrong says to us, tells us, hey, if I do wrong, I deserve punishment as well. I don't need to be taught that. I know that. You don't need to be taught that. You know that. Number six, we know that God has set up a way for us to avoid punishment. Again, you go to some of the most isolated places on earth, and what do you see? You see people offering things to God. They offer animals. In some cases, we've read about where they've actually offered human sacrifices to God. But they offer things to God in the hope that as they make that offering, God will let them escape the punishment that they have done, but the punishment that they deserve because they've done something wrong. If they pay a price, if I've done something wrong, I have an innate knowledge that if I pay a price, God could forgive me for that wrong and help me escape the punishment that I deserved. Again, you go to the deepest parts of the earth. You don't have to teach that. I mean missionaries that have gone to the most isolated places on earth. Before they opened the Bible, before they taught anything about God, they've seen people offering sacrifices to a God that they know exists, to a God that defines right and wrong, to a God that punishes wrong and rewards right, to a God that if they offer something, He may give them a way of escape. And then number seven, everybody knows that to avoid punishment, we got to do it God's way. We got to do it God's way. We can't define a different way. We can't define an alternate way to escape the punishment that God that everybody knows about, again, that God who made us to live forever, that God who defines right and wrong, that God who punishes right and rewards wrong, we can't come up with a different way to please Him, to get His forgiveness, to escape His punishment. We've got to do it His way. Those are things that we don't need to teach. Those are things that our Creator put inside of every person. And again, you can go all over the world. You can find different groups of people that practice what they know, what was given to them by their Creator. Again, I don't know everything about God. I'll admit that to you. I don't know where He comes from. I don't in all cases understand how He works. I can't prove to you scientifically this morning that He exists. But I know these seven things. And this book that God has given me helps me to understand them more than just the innate knowledge that He created in me. This book helps me understand that there is a God that created heaven and earth and everything that's in it. It's a book that helps me understand that He created me and that He created you. It's a book that helps me understand that He is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, that He is ever-present. It's a book that helps me understand that He created you and I to exist forever. Yes, one day this body will wear out. Yes, one day this body will lay down in death. But there is a part of us that will live forever. This book calls it our soul. Our soul will never die. Our soul will never cease to exist. Our soul will never be annihilated. Our soul will live for eternity somewhere. This book helps me understand that there is a right and there is a wrong. It defines for me the things that are right. It defines for me the things that are wrong. It tells me. I know innately that there's a right and there's a wrong, but this book specifies what's right and what's wrong. This book also teaches me that there is a reward for doing right, and that reward is a place called heaven. That reward is a place where God lives. That place is a place where God is going to eternally dwell with His children that have accepted His Son as their Savior. This book also teaches me that God has prepared a place for those that reject Christ, for those that live a life of wrong, that place called hell. And I want to tell you this morning, hell is just as real to me as heaven is. Hell is just as real a place as heaven is, just as real a place as this is. It exists. It's not a state of mind. It's not somebody's imagination. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And this book tells me about those places and describes those places. This book helps me also understand that we do wrong. It helps me understand that we're all sinners. It helps me understand there's none righteous, no, not one. It helps me understand that because we're sinners, we deserve the punishment of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God for eternity. And this book makes it crystal clear. This book leaves no misunderstanding that if we reject Jesus Christ, we will suffer the punishment of sin. But if we receive Him, we can receive the reward of salvation. Number six, this book helps me to understand that God did make a way of escape. And that way, a way to avoid punishment, and that way of escape is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is a God of justice. I know that innately, but I also know that from this book. He's a God of justice. Sin has to be paid for. Wrong has to be paid for. Jesus never did anything wrong. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And Jesus became God's way of escape. He became the payment for our wrong. He became the debt that we owed. He's the sacrifice that God offered in our place. He's the offering offered up in our stead. He's the price for the substitute that God put on our in our place. When He hung on the cross, God put on Him every one of my sins. And He put on Him every one of your sins. And when Jesus died on Calvary, when He was separated from God, when He suffered hell on the cross, He paid the price of everything you and I owe. God made a way that we could escape. And then number seven, this book helps me understand to escape, I have to take God's way. I can't come up with a different plan. I can't come up with an alternative plan. I can't come up with a plan that I can offer up to God and say, this plan is just as good as Jesus. There ain't no plan as good as Jesus. There ain't no plan that will work like Jesus. There ain't no plan that'll make you right with God except the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen this morning. You know these things. You have an innate knowledge of them. You're like me. We can't explain everything about God. I can't explain to you all the time why He works the way He works. I can't explain to you why He's allowed certain things to come into your life. I can't explain that. But it's not going to stop me from acting and living on the things that I do know. Please, this morning, don't wait to think about the gospel. Don't wait to respond to the gospel. Don't wait to come to Jesus Christ until you understand everything about it. There are people in this room that have been saved for years and years and years and years and years. They know they're saved. They know how they were saved. But they still don't understand why mercy would walk in, why grace would appear, why the Son of God would die in our place. I can't explain that to you. I cannot fathom why a holy, righteous God would love a sinful man enough to send his son to die in his place. But I'm not going to wait until I understand it to accept it. I'm going to take the things that I do understand, and I'm going to act on them. I want you to do that this morning. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, and your testimony is, well, I'm waiting until I understand it completely. I want to understand all the details. I want to understand all the nuances. I want to understand all the ins and outs. You'll never get saved. You'll never get saved. All you need to know is that God loved you and he sent Jesus to die in your place. Amen. Act on that. There are Christians here this morning, people that have asked Jesus to be their Savior, and yet God has allowed something to come into their life that they can't understand, that they can't explain. And so they say, until God explains this to me, until I understand why he let this happen in my life, I'm done with them. I'm just done with them. I'll come to church, but that's about it. Why? Do you explain everything that you do to your little 2-year-old? I got a little 2-year-old grandson. I do a lot of things that I don't explain to him because he would never understand it. One day I'm sure he'll be smarter than me, but right now I'm a whole lot smarter than he is. And I don't even know how I would explain some of the things I do to him, some of the things I have to do to him to keep him safe. I don't know how I would explain that to him. He could not understand. That's the way God is toward us. He can't explain it to us because the mechanism for us to understand it doesn't exist. We just have to trust him and know that he loves us. And knows that whatever he's allowed to come into our life, he has a purpose for it. The things that we know, let's just do them. You know enough to get saved this morning if you've never been saved. You know enough to come to the Savior this morning if you've never done that. Do it. Do it. And you know enough to serve God this morning. Just do it. Happy you'll be if you do the things that you know. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these things that we do know. Help us to act on them this morning. I pray for every person that might be here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, help them understand they're a sinner. They're under the punishment. They stand under the condemnation of their sin. But you made a way of escape, and that way is Jesus. And he offers to every person here this morning that's never received him the gift of eternal life. Help them to come take it. Please, Father, help them this morning to claim salvation that you offer to every single person. And then I pray for the Christians that are here, Christians that aren't serving you, Christians that aren't living for you because they want an explanation. Help them to understand there's some things you can't explain. There's no way you can. We just wouldn't understand it. But Father, help us not to demand an explanation of everything before we serve you. Help us just to do the things we know. I just pray that you'll bless this invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to every single soul that's here. Help no soul leave and not know for sure they're on your way to heaven. I beg this in Jesus' name. Amen.